You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today will be in Titus 1:1-5. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto us according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have had appointed thee. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
I'm getting kind of thick-skinned because y'all know what day today is and you asked me to come and speak. Yeah. And I just came on. Y'all run in and told them, I said, they want me to speak. In fact, Champ said, we told everybody we was having the greatest speaker in Oklahoma. But he said, you know, it's April the 1st. But I am glad to be here. Y'all comfortable? That's what I want to talk about today, is being comfortable. I'm comfortable here, even though it is April Fool's Day. Y'all invited me. You're nice to me. You feed me. You treat Linda and I really well. You do. I'm serious about that. I love to come here. We're treated very well. We're very comfortable with you. I'm very comfortable standing here. Now, a lot of places I stand, I'm not comfortable, but I'm very comfortable here. We live in a time that if it's not comfortable, we kind of change things. We're not much on being uncomfortable. Titus, I think, kind of got that message, and we're going to talk about that some today. Linda reminded me the other day that God comforts the distressed and will often distress the comfortable. And I think he has to do this to us. Now, of course, we've changed the word. The Bible word is distress. But now today, everybody's under stress. Stress, that's the buzzword. Oh, I have a lot of stress. Now, the reason is because distress, we would say, I am distressed, which means it's coming from me. But if we say stress, we can blame it on others or other situations. My job brings me a lot of stress. Well, it's the job's fault. See, it's not my fault that I don't depend upon God and turn things over to Him and I'm totally faithless and unbelieving. Then I would be distressed because that's my problem. We've come in here today and I think we're all comfortable. We've kind of shut out unwanted noises. We've even shut out unwanted people. We come, and by the way, this is not a unique scene. All over America, there are people meeting this morning that are comfortable in the situation they're in. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's just alike. There are certain groups that the style of their meeting will be different than what we're in. Some will have a little more physical activity in their meeting. I've noticed this. Those people that have that never break out in that at Walmart. See, now, if you're really going to speak in tongues, try it at Walmart. That's where I want to see you. If you want to jump and shout and say praise God, then do it out at Walmart. Do it at the mall. Eh? But because that's where your real Christianity is. Real Christianity is on the freeway and at the mall. As we're hustling and scuffling and pushing people aside and getting where we want to go, we're really showing our real Christianity. Real Christianity is not necessarily right here. We come here and we're all going to be on our best behavior, because if not, the other members will gossip about you. We know this, see. So, I don't care if your home is hell on earth. You come up here and it's honey this and honey that. Okay? If the kids are about to drive you crazy up here, you say, this is my fine son. We put on different faces up here. We get to a place that we're comfortable. Now, the point I'm making here is that I'm really not saying those that hoop and holler are wrong. Now, they're different, but they're not where I want to be. But I'm not saying they're necessarily wrong. Difference of the groups doesn't make them wrong. Some dress different. I have and a lot of the things that I do in our ministry, I'm around people that are totally different. Their talk is different. Their goals are different. Their associations are different. Their dress styles are different. Some of them, I didn't say it's necessarily wrong. They're just different. Really, those styles, whatever our style is, whether conservative or flamboyant, whatever our style is, does not make us dedicated or undedicated. I have never like Christian rock. And in fact, I think Christian rock is an oxymoron. I don't see how you can have it. See, that's kind of like, we're real smart people. Anybody ever eat grape nuts? They neither grapes nor nuts. And we call them grape nuts. Kind of like a Christian scientist. Neither scientific, not Christian. Okay? Let me say this. I want to share this with you. If you don't like Southern gospel, you won't like heaven. That's the only thing God's going to allow. I didn't like rock when I was living in the world. I was country back when country wasn't cool, okay? Y'all probably didn't know that. Y'all think I'm very sophisticated, see? When Paul got saved, and this is the comfort thing, because I may want to try, no, I'm not may, I do want to try to remove you out of your comfort level a little bit. How long has it been since you talked to somebody about Christ that wasn't dressed like you were? How long has it been since you've invited somebody to come that was not in your circle of lifestyle associates? They were or are different. When Paul got saved, he immediately went into the synagogues to tell them about Christ. And that is so logical to me. Paul, who had been a Pharisee, his daddy was a Pharisee, so here's a man who from birth has been taught and educated in a certain form of belief, a certain lifestyle, the lifestyle of the Pharisees. Their strict, no-nonsense approach, some of them were. This is the type of person, and when Paul realizes that Jesus Christ saved him, that he was indeed the Messiah. I think I've shared with y'all some of the basic Christian truths that Jews do not recognize Jesus Christ as a Messiah, and Protestants do not recognize the Pope as the head of the church. and Christians don't recognize one another at the liquor store or Hooters. Just certain things we don't recognize. But Paul went immediately, because that's logical. He wanted to go to his people. That's where he felt comfortable, by the way. Even though he just became a Christian. Even though he's now on the opposite side of all those people in that synagogue. That's the one place he feels comfortable. He knows the drill in the synagogue. And so consequently, as he goes in there, he begins to tell him about Christ. And this is very logical for him to feel comfortable there. Now, who'd God make him an apostle to? Huh? To the Jews? No. Gentile. But that's not comfortable. Why would God do that? We just kind of assume that if you're a drug addict and get saved, then the only ministry you got is to the drug addict. Or if you're an athlete and you get saved, the only ministry you got is to the athletes. If you're a businessman and you get saved, the only ministry you have is to the business people. But God sometimes changes things in what we do. And the only reason, I was thinking this morning, the only reason that I went into prison the first time is because Dr. C.E. McLean was going to be there teaching. And I flew up with an ex-inmate from Houston up to hear Dr. McLean in prison. Now, that's the first time I'd ever been in prison. I did not want to go to prison. But if Dr. McLean was going to be there teaching, I would go. I needed to hear him. I was at a point in my life I really needed to hear him. I needed to talk with him. Because my life was pretty much shipwrecked. The second time I went into prison, I went because Dr. McLean was going to be there. That's the only reason I went. And it was at that time that a guy began to put pressure on me to come into that prison and to try to carry on what Dr. McLean had started. And I'm going to tell you, I was uncomfortable. I did not want to go. I made every excuse I could. Thank God I hated it. I did not want to go. It was not a comfort zone for me. It wasn't long till it became a comfort zone. I loved it. I indeed loved it. I could not believe that which I'd hated so much, I began to love. And then as Linda went in with me, we realized that the families needed somebody to work with them. Nobody was there for the family. And I'm telling you, I did not want to do it. Linda, you go do that. Let me stay in prison with the guys. But that wasn't God's program. And I was very uncomfortable with that. But that's where God put us. And then, because of our association with this, people would call and say, "Hey, I've got somebody out in the jail. Would you go see him?" And I was really uncomfortable with that. I did not want to go see a guy that just got put in jail. I'm used to dealing with hardened prisoners. Anybody can deal with some old boy that just got thrown in jail. I'm a professional. I began to go into the jail. Now let me tell you something. Everybody that goes to jail doesn't go to prison. But you know what? Everybody that goes to prison goes to jail. And then to go into the jail, and we started a chaplaincy program in that jail, and now I feel very comfortable in that jail, but I didn't want to go to that jail. And then they had a drug and alcohol rehab place. They wanted me to come out and teach a program we were doing in the prison, a little seminar thing. And so we broke it down into about 6 weeks and took it out there and did it. And that's fine, I'm through. Nope. Then they contacted, "Would you come out every week?" And I didn't want to go back. I don't know much about drug addicts except old Joe, but that's about the only one I ever knew. See, I didn't know about drug addicts. Now, I knew about people that drank too much because I are one. I did that. But drug addicts were a different group. And to me, stay out of my way. I don't know that I want to help them. But God said, here's where I want you to go. I thought, they won't let me do what I want to do. The fellow said, would you come into our spiritual hour? I said, let me ask you a question. Spiritual to me means Jesus Christ and the Bible. That's all I know to do. He said, that's fine. And this is a state-supported place. That's fine. I said, we'll see if that's fine. So I'd walk in there. I'd start handing out scripture. We type them up. We have questions. I make a few counselors mad. The inmates seem to like it. But the guy who runs the show said, that's fine. And I doubt if he's even a Christian. God gave us favor. And now, you know what? I've done it for 8 years now. I love it. I love it. And then one of those counselors went to another place, and we had a place where women went that were drug addicts and alcoholics that had little kids or were expecting little kids. Most of them were expecting little kids. And she said, would you come and do this class down here? Would you do there what you've done out at this place? And I didn't want to do that. I did not want, it's hard enough, see, I can work with guys, I think. But now I go down here to work with women who, one, are alcoholics and drug addicts, and third, most of them are pregnant. I mean, I don't get along with too many women that are not pregnant. But pregnant women are there. You talk about distressed. See, I mean, you walk in and you say something to one of them and they squall. You know what I do wrong? I just said, how you feel? All right, tense. You talk about uncomfortable. Until, let me tell you what, it was so uncomfortable. I told them, I'm not doing any good down here. I don't know why I'm down here. And the first baby came. And the pawpaw come out in me. Now that I understand, give me that baby. Let me hold that baby. And then it said, we will make the favorite dessert for the mother, and we'll have a celebration. And it got to be very comfortable. And they closed that place, but they have another one out open. We started going in there. They said, would you come down here? It's women that come out of treatment centers and out of prison. And we're working with them. And on Monday night, they said, would you come and do a class with the parolees? And it's Bible, Scripture, Jesus Christ. We do a program on gems, replacing garbage with gems. The G stands for God, E for eternity, M for a mediator, S for a savior, and we do 4 weeks on it. And hand it out. And the parole office says, that's fine. We haven't had any problem. Now, they may kick me out Monday, but as of today, God's opened those doors. And you know what? I'm very comfortable there. All the things that I was very uncomfortable in, God has made me comfortable. Because when God gets you to do something, as a rule, it's not something you've been dying to do. As a rule, He has to move us out of our comfort zone. Now let's talk about this Paul that we just mentioned. And about one of his young disciples named Titus. And Joe read the verses. I want to pick up on verse 4 and 5. And he said to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Paul might have led him to the Lord, I don't know, but at least he discipled him like he did Timothy. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. What kind of place was Crete? Paul said, grace, mercy, and peace to you, Titus. because I'm leaving you in Crete. You're going to need grace, mercy, and peace. Crete was a place that had tremendous Jewish influence. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, when all the people came on the day of Pentecost, they came from Crete, some of them. They were Cretans. When Paul was on the ship in Acts chapter 27 and going to Rome, one of the places they wanted to try to stay in and they didn't get to was Crete, because it was commodious. It was a place, it was a good place for them to stay. There were good living conditions there. It had tremendously Jewish influence. What kind of people were the Cretan people? Well, that's another little story, because we haven't read this yet. Go with me to verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. These Jewish people, well, all this tremendous Jewish influence. By the way, did I remember to tell you that Titus is a Gentile? And just as God would not let Paul go to the Jews but send him to the Gentiles, now he's got a Gentile that Paul is sending to the Jews. He doesn't feel comfortable in their background anyway. And now look at the type of people they are. He said they are unruly. They are vain talkers, especially those of the circumcision, those Jews. In verse 11, it says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. They would preach whatever they wanted to for the money. I mean, you can bring this down to 2001. Okay. And then the next verse says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own. Now, these people were so bad, even their own people realized they were bad. The prophet of their own said this, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. There are self-serving people. There are people with a bad reputation. Titus, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay in Crete. But Paul, I want to go with you. I said that I wanted to follow you. I'll carry your bags. I want to be your understudy. And many of us are really comfortable with being an understudy, because we don't have to lead out in anything. We had rather let somebody else be up front and catch the heat. Paul, I want to stay. No, Titus, I want you to stay in Crete. Why Crete of all places? Why can't I go someplace that's nice? Why am I got to be put around this bunch of people? But see, these liars, slow bellies, unruly, vain talkers, religious people who would sell out for a dollar were loved by God, and He gave His Son for them. It's sometimes hard, and I have to try to keep this in my mind, to look at a person that I don't like. I don't like their lifestyle. I don't like. Now, there's nothing in common that I have with them. And yet that's one for whom Christ died. Do you realize that you have never met anybody and will never meet anybody that Jesus Christ doesn't love? Now, you meet people you and I don't love. In fact, it's kind of funny. Paul said this about the Jew. He said, I would that I would be accursed for my brethren in the flesh. He loved the Jew so much. I know he wanted to go to the Jew. You never heard him say that about a Gentile. But God said, you'll go to the Gentile. And Paul must have enjoyed it, because before he died, he said, I'm now ready to be offered. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've done what God wanted me to do. Sometime we have to go do the uncomfortable to get to the comfortable. And I noticed when Paul was serving prison time in 2 Timothy, and things are not all that well physically, he has no regrets. He said, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I've got some wonderful things coming. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul is living on top of the world, because he tells Timothy, bring my books, bring my parchment, I want to write some more. But he also said, bring my coat. I think it was a little chilly in that jail. He had some uncomfort. But see, our job as servants of God, and a servant is to make his master comfortable. A servant is not to comfort himself. Now, I don't know about Titus. There's a unique thing about Titus in that fourth chapter of 2 Timothy we were just talking to. Turn back one page to the left. Or maybe two pages. It's divided in your Bible. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4. For Demas, verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Let me insert here a moment. I don't think that this meant that Demas went smoking dope or drinking scotch or living in Vegas, betting on the table. I think the present world he's speaking of is that present world of religion. That Demas didn't want to get uncomfortable. I want to stay right here. Demas hath forsaken me. He's not doing what I wanted him to do. And then he said, and he's gone to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia. Notice this. Titus unto Dalmatia. I really feel in my own heart, and this is opinion, that Titus didn't make it in Crete. I think that this is why he's listed here. This is Demas, I know, is not being spoken of in an affectionate way here, especially he hadn't done what God wanted him to do. Paul said, he's left me. It seems as if he's also saying that Crescens has left me, and so is Timothy. Timothy's gone to Dalmatia. I left him in Crete. But he's gone to Dalmatia. He didn't want to stay and do the job I asked him to do. I asked him to set up some elders and some deacons. I asked him to get the church in order. And this was a bad job. See, I think this is why they tell me that the average length of time for a pastor today is 2 years. And I also know this, and I'm sure Oklahoma City is no different from Odessa, but we play church chairs in Odessa. People leave the Emmanuel Baptist Church to go to the First Baptist Church, and the people leave First Baptist Church to go to the Temple Baptist Church, and the people leave the Temple Baptist Church, and all we're doing is just moving around, and everybody's on, but well, we're having a lot of additions. Well, you're having a lot of subtractions, too, you know, because we're just moving around, and the Presbyterians are just moving around, and the Methodists just moving around, and the lost people are, as a rule, not being touched. Because we're not willing to be uncomfortable for them. You know, God's method is still the same. Go get them. Now, he never said, run up the sign, and I'm sure they'll come in. See, if folks come in here and don't feel comfortable, you know what they're going to do? I'm going to come back. And you and I do the same thing. Let's say you went into a service. Let's say you're visiting somewhere, and you go into a service. If you're not comfortable there, and how do you get comfortable? Somebody is there to love you. Somebody is there to care for you. Not to say, hey, you can't dress like that. We don't do that here. First, we have to love them. Now, no doubt about it, and Paul didn't make any claims about it to Titus, the people at Crete were not lovable. But Titus, here's your job. And it's an uncomfortable one. But I'm here to tell you that if Titus, when he won that first mouthing, troublemaking Jew to Jesus Christ, and what's the change in his life? He started getting comfortable. See, what made me comfortable in prison was not that they painted it and decorated it. What made me comfortable that I saw some guys whose lives were changed, who loved me and thanked me for coming over. What made me comfortable in all of these places that I've talked about that I felt very uncomfortable again was seeing people changed and caring about. I took my mother grocery shopping this past week, and a little girl run up to me and said, "You remember me, Mr. Maples?" And she was one of those having a baby at that place. "How are you doing? How's Linda? How's your..." She wanted to know about us. And she had made me feel comfortable. Here was people that are unloved. They kicked around. Somebody needs somebody to say, "Hey, come on back. We love you." Make them feel comfortable. Maybe Titus looked at the job and said, "That's not what I want to do." See, I saw it when we went into the jail, and they built a new jail, and no longer could a guy stand at the bars and preach to 18 people and hoop and holler and stomp and shout and wave his bang. You had a little thing like this to speak through that you could speak to two at the most. And all of a sudden now you have to minister instead of perform. You still got the same story, you got the same message, you just can't perform. See, this is comfortable. When you come to hear me, you invited me. You come to hear me. Isn't this good? See, and you make me feel good. And if nobody showed up this morning, I'd feel bad. And I'd blame y'all. Now, how do we get them here? Same way. Hey, I realize that we got the internet, and I realize that we got cable. BC, Joe, we got all these things. But I'm going to tell you, nothing will beat the one-on-one, people-to-people. We ask inmates in prison in one of our seminars, when you first come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way, what was the influence? Was it, and we let them check this, was it television program? Was it a radio preacher? Was it a relative? If so, which one? Or was it a friend? Nobody to this day has checked radio or television. Nobody. The number one, do you know who the number one relative was? Grandma. My grandma. My grandma took me to church. My grandma made me sit right on the front row. And the second one was a friend. A friend invited me to church. A friend kept working on me. I don't know if Titus made it or not. I really don't. But I know you and I have the same opportunity and we can. Let me tell you something. I heard this somewhere, and I can't remember where, but it stuck in my mind. But if you go after the people nobody wants, God will give you the people that everybody wants. Think about that. See, most of the time we want the moneyed people that fit our conservative type nature. And I'm that. I mean, now I'm an old redneck. See, I'm thrilled to death that they got Bobby Knight at Texas Tech. I'm redneck, not far from them, and make them play. See, that's the thing I come up under. That's I didn't say it's right. I just said that's what I am. But it is right. But the point I'm making is I don't care who you are. You want somebody to love you and reach out for those people that nobody cares about. And you know what's amazing? I see people that support the ministries that do that. They won't do it, but they support those things that do. And they like to see what's going on. I want to see lives change. And I know you do too. And this is how we do it, with the message of Jesus Christ. He loves you. And God has let us see enough of those people. That he's kept us from getting discouraged and quitting. I don't know about Titus. I can't say. I'm not to me, I think Titus didn't make it. But maybe he did. I hope he did. But I know this. It was a tough job. Because the Cretans were tough. But I know if he'd stayed, God would have made him comfortable. God is not in the business of making us uncomfortable. We're the ones that make ourselves comfortable and uncomfortable. But he sends us to places, and once we get there, he's got a way of comforting us. In fact, he says that he is the God of comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulations that we might be able to comfort them that we come in contact with. With that, let's pray. Our Father, we are thrilled today. You've given us so many wonderful things, and we realize it's not a sin to be comfortable. And I hope I didn't give that message. But also know that you got other things for us to do, that there's things that as long as we're here in this body that we need to be doing, and some of them are not real comfortable. It's not comfortable sometimes to talk to people about you. Now that's our fault. It's not your fault. It shouldn't be, but it is. Sometimes we look at them as they are and say, well, I'm not sure we want them in our church or in our group. And yet, Father, you changed us. You've changed so many, including the Apostle Paul and even the people that came to love him were afraid of him because of what he'd been. And my, the turnaround you did in his life. So, Father, help us to just be willing to do what you want us to do. Wherever you send us, wherever you lead us, if it's uncomfortable, help us just to get into the midst of it and depend on you by faith to make it comfortable. Bless the people here. Father, we thank you for this day, for the fellowship we've had already, the fellowship we will have, just your goodness, the faithfulness of the people that are here, for their hospitality to us, and we ask you special blessings on them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.